This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Image-based sexting is on the rise among young adults, with research showing it's more common among queer communities. And while research shows there is little harm associated with it, all parties involved had consented. Consent isn't always properly given and received, though. So where's the line in the sharing of intimate photos, and what does consent look like? Joining us to talk about it is Elizabeth Clancy, a lecturer at the School of Psychology at Deakin University. Elizabeth, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to talking about it.
You've just published a study that found a gap in the number of people who said they'd given consent to have their intimate images shared and those who said they'd received consent to share those photos. What did you find?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. We initially, when we started doing this research, there were so many myths hanging around, and we thought, let's actually ask people, okay, if you've had your images shared, did you give permission for it? Great. What did that look like? And if you've been sharing images, did you have permission? And what we found, as you said, is this gap. About 20% of people who share images say they've got permission. This is fine. They asked. It's all good. But less than 8% of people, so less than half that number, who've had their images shared, say, I gave permission. And that's a really big gap, less than half the people. And bearing in mind, when we look at that number who are saying they gave permission, there are people who probably don't even know that their image has been shared. So that's probably an overestimate of everything.
So obviously, you know, someone there is not telling the truth. We assume that people are assuming they've got consent when they don't have it. How do we give consent? Is it like, what's the, I know I can say, yes, you have permission to share my photos, but are people interpreting other communications as consent?
Look, they really are. And it's a great question to ask, because consent in any interaction, any sexual interaction, is always kind of an interesting conversation. It's a much more nuanced question than just tick yes or no. It's not that kind of simple. So when we think about consent in physical interactions, it's do I consent to this but maybe not that, or I consent to it tonight but not tomorrow. In the same way, when we look at online pictures, I consent to you showing it to people on your phone but maybe not sending it to others, or you can send it to him and him and him, but not him. Yeah. Or, yeah, I let you know. And the other thing that is more complicated when we look at consent online is there's this temporal aspect to it. So I say, yeah, we're in a relationship, things pretty hot and steamy. I'm like, yep, it's all good. You can share it with people. But 6 months later, we've broken up. Mm. You've still got those photos.
I feel like,
what do I consent to now?
Yeah, I feel like we almost, I mean, we are, it's all about trust, isn't it? It's about trusting the person that you're saying, you know, you can do this with my photos. I feel like we almost need some sort of, I don't know whether it's some sort of metadata or something that we can attach to our photos that, you know, sort of almost enforces what we want to do with them.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, because in many ways, when we give anything digital over, we don't have control of that image anymore. We don't have control of that information that we've given to, whether it's a partner or, you know, any other sort of information that we've given and put out there. So knowing that we've put it out there, there is an element of risk involved in that, and we'd like to think that people are decent. But I think probably the main things that it really highlights for me are, A, having that conversation up front about, I'm sending you these photos, but yeah, if things go sour, I expect you to get rid of them. And I don't know if you or any of your listeners that watched the Ted Lasso series recently.
No, I haven't seen it.
The whole thing about intimate images. There was a really interesting episode, and one of the characters in the show, she'd had her images shared. Somebody had put them out there. Somebody had hacked her phone, whatever else. And the whole team's basically just gone, we've got to delete all the old photos we've got, all the stuff from old exes. And the reactions, it was actually... I'm sitting there watching it going, oh my God, this is my research.
Because you
can't, it was really interesting.
There's no undelete button, is there? There's no, it's, you know how some email applications you can go unsend and it removes it. You can't do it. You're right. It's out there and it's under the control of other people. What happens though when something does go sour and, you know, the we do want to recall those? What can we do?
There's no digital response at the moment. There's no automatic recall, you know, press delete and they all self-combust on wherever they're held. There's no metadata solutions. If things are, unfortunately, at the moment, the only options we have are when something's already gone wrong. So in Australia, we have the option of contacting the Air Safety Commissioner. We're one of the only countries in the world that has an online regulator of that sort. And they can, if things are shared on social media, they can ask for those to be taken down and they can enforce that through the actual, through Insta, whoever owns whichever platform you're on, whether it's dating platforms or wherever, they can enforce that. And it is also an offence. It's covered by state law, so it's very complicated and messy. But in every state and territory in Australia, it's an offence to share information non-consensually, explicit images.
We're chatting with Elizabeth Clancy, lecturer from the School of Psychology at Deakin University, about nude photo sharing and why there is a gap in consent. Do you think it's important, Elizabeth, to actually text, like keep the text where you've said, I am giving you permission to do this with my photos? Because often, you know, we might send something, like you said, in a relationship, and it could be a few years down the track where it does go sour. I mean, who's going to be able to scroll through 2 years of text, even if you've still got them, to show that you gave that permission?
Exactly. And sharing, thinking about some of the text conversations I've had, scrolling through 2 weeks of them would take me a year.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think keeping even just a screenshot of when you do have that, but also I think the other thing that we can look at all the technical solutions, but I think we also want to look at ways we can increase trust in relationships, because, you know, we can put in place a technical solution that's going to work around everything. But what we actually want in our relationships is trust. We want to be able to say, whatever I tell you, you respect that. And even if the relationship ends, we treat people decently. So we respect that a relationship's ended. We don't go and, you know, put alfalfa seeds in their carpet. We don't do all the other things that we've seen in various memes and whatever else. And that would include we get rid of the photos that we had. So I think it's almost like a digital housekeeping at the end of relationships.
How do we withdraw consent at any time? Let's say, do we need to put it in writing in a text?
It doesn't have to be in writing, no. It just has to be clearly communicated. And so it could be just a verbal interaction. This is what I give you permission to do with it. Yeah, obviously not, probably not in exactly those words, but yeah, I'm happy for you to show the photo to people, but don't share it. Don't send it electronically. But being clear in our conversations about people.
There's new affirmative consent laws in Victoria which specify that consent has to be clear and enthusiastic. I suppose how might that look when it comes to sexting?
It's a really interesting question, because nobody's really asked the question. There's no case law. There's nothing that's there's no legislation or policy that's telling us what it looks like. So at the moment, we're kind of all feeling our way in this space, because as with many things, when legislation's kind of 5-6 years or more behind where the technology is. We're only just having a chat about affirmative consent in terms of physical, you know, interactions. So there's nothing we could say that's exactly what it looks like. So I think from my point of view as a psychologist and as a researcher, I want to build people's abilities to have the conversations in the time where they're sending text and whatever the sex looks like. And then later on, when they're kind of going, okay, maybe things aren't working out the way I thought it would. You know, part of what you do when you end up a relationship maybe is you clean out what you've got. You don't hold on to those. So that if you do get grumpy and, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you've had too much to drink or whatever else, you then don't have the temptation to do something with the text.
So really, one of the takeaways, I suppose, from your research is we're saying, you know, 8% say they gave permission, 20% say they received permission. So be really clear when you do give permission or if you're not giving permission, and keep a screenshot of that text so that we can narrow that gap.
Definitely. We want to narrow that gap, both, you know, to make sure everybody's on the same page. Because if you want your photos out there and you want to hook up with more people or for whatever reason you want, then I don't want to tell people, because most sexting is harmless. When it's consensual, mostly it doesn't do anybody any harm. So I don't want to kind of come over all, you know, we should never be doing this. But I think just teaching people those skills to have the conversations and having them as part of, you know, the digital is just part of the relationship now. So having the conversation about what you're happy to do in bed together, what you're happy to share, that all of that comes as a package.
What about using applications that enable you to sort of, for the photos to only have a time limit where they do expire and then they can't view them anymore? Is that a good way to reduce the risk?
Look, I think that's certainly part of the option, but maybe I'm the cynic and I thought maybe I've hung around with too many engineers, but as soon as we have a technical solution, you know, people will try and find their way around that. Or hack into that. So I'm kind of, at the moment, I haven't seen ones that I would sort of recommend that look really robust in terms of those options. Like, even things like, I mean, the concept of Snapchat was that the photos would disappear, but you can always take a screenshot of your own snap.
Ah, that's true.
Or some, you know,
there's always a workaround.
When my daughter
was
13, she said to me, "Oh, but Mum, you just get another phone and take a photo of the phone. It's fine."
Oh. Don't send pictures. That's what I'm going to say. Elizabeth, it's great to chat with you. Really good research. I'd love you to keep us posted on what else you find.
Definitely. It'd be great to stay in touch.
Fantastic. Thanks, Elizabeth, for chatting with us on Joy Drive.
Pleasure. Thanks very much, Warren.
That's Elizabeth Clancy, lecturer at the School of Psychology at Deakin University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.